This is the newest, most technologically advanced Land Cruiser ever made. This is the result of almost 100 years of innovation and thousands of man hours by Japan's greatest minds.
Whoa.
And I don't think it's the best one. I think the best Land Cruiser was built 30 years ago.
It is Wednesday.
That is coming for a long time now.
This is the 80 series Land Cruiser. This 1990s 80 series Land Cruiser is still regarded as the pinnacle of Toyota off-road engineering, and driving it?
Nice.
But how is it that this 30-year-old truck is still better than the new one, and it's a tenth of the price? Today I'm breaking down key features to see what 30 years of evolution in technology did to the perfect vehicle, and to figure out if the new one can hold a flame to the greatest of all time. And also, I need to talk to you about a little secret that Toyota's hiding from us. First things first, we gotta talk about suspension and running gear. And oh my God, have I been waiting to talk about this. Because this is peak off-roading right here. And this makes all the difference in terms of off-road and on-road feel. And I'm gonna give you the technical breakdown so you know exactly what's going on underneath there. First up, the 80 series is built with a solid front axle. The axle shaft housing right here, this is a forged piece. This is a lot stronger. Very strong, very barbaric. Inside of that housing are the axle shafts themselves. Straight, long axle shafts. Then, at the end of our axle housing, we have these joints right here. Now, Toyota uses a thing called a Burfield joint. That's a little different. A lot of companies, like Jeep, use a U-joint, basically. That's the easiest way to think about it. Stronger from the factory? Yes. But you can upgrade these Burfields pretty easily. And if you look a little, come. Look at all this dirt. You see the mucking up the works all in here? A Burfield joint doesn't let all of this in, which means it can go for longer service intervals. In here, you actually have a sealed CV axle. This means it's continuously variable. And the reason that that's so good is because it transfers power and torque evenly out to the wheels. And like I said, it keeps the dirt out as well, which is bueno. This is actually our tie rod. As you can probably tell, this is a pretty big, beefy piece of metal. If you're getting the overall theme with this thing, it's that it's big and beefy and barbaric, and it functions very well. But let me tell you the real glory in having a solid axle. When this side goes up, this side goes down. And what that means is that there's traction being forced down on this wheel while this one articulates over an obstacle. And that is very bueno for what we want to do. It is the perfect off-road suspension, and not to mention the fact that when we want to put a lift kit on this thing, when we want to put bigger tires, all we have to do is change this. All we need are springs and shocks. It's so good.
I love it.
I can't lie to you, okay? There are some downsides to solid axles, and primarily it's the road feeling of them. They tend to kind of wander and just be more guessy than independent front suspension is. That really big highlight for what they do off-road, where they move both wheels when you go over something, if you're going 80 miles an hour down the freeway, it's scary for some people, okay? I don't want to talk about this anymore. I just want to talk about the good. The LC250 runs an independent front suspension. Independent front suspension is much better for on-road feel. That's why it's in most cars nowadays, and you don't get many solid axles anymore. The way IFS works is that you have an A-arm, or an upper control arm, and then you have a lower control arm. Then you have this spindle right here, we have our tie rods right here, we have our CV axle right here. The independent part of independent front suspension means that each wheel moves independently of each other. So unlike the solid axle, when we hit a bump and it moves both sides essentially, on this one, when you hit a bump, just this wheel moves. The other thing is, on IFS vehicles, the differential is tucked all the way up here. That's another bonus for IFS. The pro there is the fact that you get more ground clearance and you can hide this differential under a skid plate. Now, these are just plastic because that's what Toyota supplies you from the factory nowadays. Remember how easy I said it was to put a lift and bigger tires on that solid axle? It's a little harder on IFS, and the reason being, you can't change your suspension geometry in terms of gaining additional wheel travel unless you actually change the length of the arms. We would have to change almost everything in here, whereas gaining travel with a solid axle is as simple as longer shocks and longer springs, basically. Remember that beefy giant tie rod we had on the solid front axle? Look at this thing. Imagine hitting a rock hard enough and then one of these bends, which happens all the time, and then you're stuck out on the trail with duck-toed tires up front. I know I'm dogging this thing a little bit, but I own multiple IFS off-roaders, and they're very good at what they do. They're very capable. Plus, driving this thing down the highway on your commute or whatever, it's a much more comfortable and predictable experience than a solid axle. After 30 years of technological advancement, these things are pretty damn good at doing a little bit of everything pretty well.
When it's time to get off-road, we turn to today's sponsor, Hankook DynaPro Tires. Since the DynaPro MT2s proved themselves at King of the Hammers, we figured we'd take the Ranger to Johnson Valley to see what they can do. And there was only one person we could think of to put behind the wheel.
I have no idea what I'm doing, but I know I'm in good hands with the DynaPro MT2s. In fact, I trust them so much, I'm going to let the tires do the driving.
You're going to do what now?
Trust the tires.
Hey, Arden.
Dude, chill out. Thanks to the DynaPro MT2's massive tread pattern, beefy lugs, and reinforced shoulders, I don't have to worry about losing control at all.
Yeah, but you still gotta steer.
The DynaPro MT2s are specifically designed to eject mud, rocks, and sand so that no matter where you are, you'll always have grip. And with their sidewall armor, you don't have to worry about punctures at all. The DynaPro MT2s aren't just a force on the trail. Unlike other off-road tires, they're buttery smooth to drive on the road.
If you want a tire you can trust on and off-road, check out Hankook DynaPro Off-Road Tires.
How did you do that?
I was always driving.
Imagine you need medical transport out of the bush. You're going to want the LC250. Boys!
Get him in! Oh.
All right, come on, deal. We got to get you out of here.
Oh, God. See, in this new one, things are much more comfortable. It's much better over the bumps. Oh. This is an emergency situation.
Jim!
The streets of Inglewood are easy to conquer in this thing.
But in the old one, things aren't so smooth.
Oh, Jesus.
Whoa, the steering on this is a little heavy.
Don't worry, I know a shortcut.
Jim.
Hold on.
Okay.
All right.
You're safe. Oh, you're not even on the thing anymore.
Well, this isn't my problem anymore. This is the doctor's problem. So I'm going to let them handle it.
I think I broke all the rest of the bones.
I'm
going to
go
body.
Get myself some lunch.
Jim? Jim, are you still there?
Next up, the most controversial part of the new Land Cruiser, the engine. And for 60 grand, I can't at least get hood struts. I have to use a prop. This is the T24A engine, and this is an inline four-cylinder turbo hybrid motor. Now, I might be dumb, but me no 80 series, me no turbo hybrid system engine, me no. The pros to this is that this little engine gets better gas mileage, around 22 in the city and 25 on the highway, and it has a lot more horsepower and torque than the 1FZ has in the 80 series. This engine has been used in a lot of Toyota and Lexus models. All of these right here. So I don't have any doubts that this is a reliable engine. Toyota's generally pretty good at that. My doubts are that you can fix this with simple tools and basic knowledge.
We do have to give it a little rev test. Now, old trusty and reliable here. Oh, and we get hood struts. Wow. They don't really work, so I do have to, you know. This is one of the great engines that Toyota built. It's the 1FZ, and if you bought an 80 series after 1993, this is the engine you got inside of it. It's an inline six-cylinder engine with 4.5 liters of displacement, and it is peak Toyota. Simplicity, reliability, and ruggedness. Airbox right here. You got all your fuel going in right there. All your spark is right there as well. It's pretty basic engineering, and I could figure any of this out with a hammer and a screwdriver for the most part. And the MPGs on this one, somewhere between 14 and 16. Realistically, closer to like 11 and 12 and a half. But when you're having this much fun, do you really care? All right, ready? honestly, doesn't sound that much better than the new one does. Now, you may have noticed the round headlights on this one. This one's the 1958 model, and that's a nod to Toyota's history. Because, stick with me here, the lore on these things is better than something Tolkien could have written himself. You see, the Land Cruiser originally started out as a Jeep clone, essentially. Toyota doesn't really admit this readily, but the J in FJ80 or FJ60 or whatever actually stands for Jeep. In the 1940s, Toyota latched on to the Willys Jeep, and they decided to make a version of their own. And then in the 1950s, 1958 to be exact, Toyota decided to release these things for sale outside of Japan. And as these things gained popularity, Toyota refined the sauce, okay? And they started making and improving on their models. They made the FJ55, the one we don't really talk about, the Iron Pig. Then they made the 60, the 70, the 80, and so on. These were great cars of their time, but there was one Land Cruiser to rule them all. And this is where the debate started about which one was the greatest of all time. And very clearly, it is. The FJ60 is the best Land Cruiser of all time. Only real Land Cruisers have circular headlights, except for that one, and they've got leaf springs.
Nah.
The 100 series is the best. Some modern amenities, luxury. You got a V8, and I come in at the best price.
Nah. It's me, the 40 series. I am the original, and therefore, the best.
No. The best Land Cruiser is the 80 series.
Nah.
Well, what about me?
All right. Chill, little guy.
He's a bit cute, though, ain't he?
Okay, let me explain. Relax for a second. Look, the Land Cruiser was doing so well globally that Toyota decided to make this thing called the Land Cruiser Prado. It was a slightly smaller, more compact, little bit lighter duty version of the Big Daddy Land Cruiser. And although the internet might scoff at it and call it not a real Land Cruiser or a baby Land Cruiser, the Land Cruiser Prado is still a decent little car, super reliable and rugged, too. And that secret that Toyota's hiding from us, this new Land Cruiser, it's actually a Prado. Yeah, Toyota scraped off that badge in the United States and thought we wouldn't notice. And honestly, I wouldn't mind that so much. But in Australia, this Land Cruiser Prado starts at about $42,000 American. Whereas in the United States, this thing starts at $58,000. And for 40 grand, I feel like I get a pretty good deal. But for almost 60 grand, not so much.
But what if I want a big beefy Land Cruiser that's not 20 plus years old?
I wish they would make this exact truck, but just new. And the thing is, they could, because they do. We just don't get them here in the United States. Welcome to the 70 series Land Cruiser, specifically the 79. Oh my God, what a treat it is to drive this thing on American roads. You know, I love the 80 series, I really do, but there is no debating that this is the greatest Land Cruiser ever built. It is so good that they've kept making it for 40 plus years, if that tells you anything. And this one is the perfect spec. It is the 1VD V8 turbo diesel engine, manual 5-speed, simple, basic options. And did I tell you the kicker to boot? This thing's solid axle front and rear. Yep, leaf sprung in the back and coil sprung in the front. Plus, you might have noticed that this thing has a truck bed on the back. And that's because Toyota makes these in all sorts of different configurations. You can get the 70 series as a troopy, or you can get it as a Ute, which is what this would be called. And if they sold them in America, I would buy every single variation they make. This guy's giving me the thumbs up. Hell yeah. What do you think? Yeah, thank you very much. But why doesn't Toyota sell these in the United States? Well, they say it's for emissions and safety standards. But I think there's a deeper reason. I don't think Americans would buy these. Maybe Toyota is right. We think we want a hardcore, bare-bones, stripped-down, adventure-ready rig. But I'm willing to bet that Toyota knows you better than you know you. Toyota's the reverse fiddler. Think about it. They know you're not taking these things out and using them to their max every single day. You don't want some grunty, inefficient,
inline six or some big
V8 turbo diesel or these heavy solid axles.
This is gonna slow you down on your way to work. They know us Americans and what we do and don't want. Please, Toyota, give it to me. Give me, fiddle me. Fiddle me harder, Toyota, please. Give it to me. Toyota, give it to me.
Look, the proof is kind of in the pudding here. The new LC250, they sold more of those when they released them than they did of this one in the entire last decade combined. So what would make Toyota think that Americans want a more stripped-down, bare-bones version of the Land Cruiser for 50, 60 grand? As one of the last comparisons, it's not easily quantifiable, but I think it's one of the most important parts. It's feeling, encapsulated by the five senses. That's touch, smell, taste, and the other two. Being in this new one, the feel of it is just... what is that? It's a new car. And I do still like that they use buttons for this stuff and not just a giant display screen. But then it's other things like shifting from high four to low four. And it's this, whereas the old one has manually actuated linkage. It's a lever. And this one, this kind of gets me the most. I like cloth seats. I actually prefer cloth seats in my car. But for 60 grand, I feel like I'm getting cheated out of leather a little bit. Not to mention the fact that both of these seats are manually adjustable. Inside of the 80 series, it's obviously a lot older. But the buttons, they're all solid. Everything pushes solid. You have a manual transfer case here with actual linkages. Your shift knob is big and you have a real e-brake, not just a button. And I know most of this is nostalgia. Most of this is about the fact that I grew up with these cars when I was younger and I love them for what they are. But I just feel like that new one, in 30 years, I just don't know if it'll age as gracefully as this did. I didn't want it to just be my feelings. I wanted to enlist the help of our spiritual guide, a man who has incredible feel, a man we have much reverence for. It's our neighbor, Benito. There he is, working his craft, as per usual. Benny!
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, man. Can I steal you for a couple seconds?
Make it 1 hour.
Make it 1 hour? Done. As a master of feel, I need your opinion on both of these cars.
This is a new one. I feel good.
This is new. Have a seat, please. Please. I want you to touch everything in here. Touch it. Tell me what it says to you.
If I drive this car, your speed is no limit.
The speed is no limit. You think it's fast?
Of course. Very, very fast.
Interesting. Okay, wait. Let me take you to another one. I have another one to take you to.
Another car?
Another car. Come on, my friend. Come on.
It's too high. It's too high.
I'll help you up there.
I feel this car is very, very old. I prefer the old one like this.
You prefer the old one like
this? Yeah, yeah.
Me too, man. Me too.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Now I can drive this home.
No. You got to leave it here. The first time I ever drove an old Land Cruiser was an old FJ62. Up in the high Sierra Mountains. It was just me, a couple of freeze-dried meals, no shaving for days. And it was the first time I ever felt like a real cowboy, just out exploring a new frontier. It's kind of how the Land Cruiser makes you feel. But this one, it just doesn't feel like that. This new one, it just makes me feel ready for a commute to work. And I think that's okay. Is this new Land Cruiser better than the 80 series after 30 years of evolution? Well, I think no and yes. It's better for the average commute. I mean, after 30 years, it is smarter and safer and faster and easier to drive. But advanced computation and so many safety systems do so much to control the experience of this thing. With this old one, as trite as it might sound, it's just you and your machine. It's just you and your horse. And you know what? I'm not just gonna say all this. The guy who dropped this off,
who's actually selling it, I told him not to come back because I'm buying this one. Maybe it's just my caveman brain, but this one, it just does something for me. So stay tuned because we obviously have some work to do on it. And I'll see you next time.